بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا من فضلك علما وتعليما، إنك على كل شيء قدير. وبعد، السلام عليكم. الحمد لله. In this session tonight covering the Fada'il al-Qur'an, the virtues of the Qur'an, we're going to talk about something that is very important, and that is the virtue of teaching the Qur'an to children. There are a lot of misunderstandings about this virtue and what it means. And our starting point is, of course, the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, who said, خَيْرُكُمْ مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنَ وَعَلَّمَهُ. The best of you are those who learn the Qur'an and teach it to others. And commenting on the virtue of teaching the Qur'an to young children, we have the words of the great Imam Al-Hafidh As-Suyuti Rahmatullahi Alayhi, who mentions in his book Al-Itqan Fi Ulum Al-Qur'an, his book on the sciences of the Qur'an. He says, teaching young children the Qur'an is one of the foundations of Islam, whereby they are reared upon the fitrah, the natural disposition, and their hearts experience an inrush of the lights of wisdom before vain desires gain a foothold within them and before their hearts are darkened by disobedience and misguidance. This is what Imam As-Suyuti mentions in his opening statement when he talks about the virtues of teaching the Qur'an to young children. We have to pay very close attention to what he's saying here. Notice that he says that it's one of the foundations of Islam, whereby in teaching them the Qur'an, they are reared upon the fitrah, the natural disposition, and their hearts experience an inrush of the lights of wisdom before desires gain a foothold. This phrase is very important to understand, where he says, their hearts experience an inrush of the lights of wisdom. What that means is that the objective of teaching children the Qur'an is not just for reproducing the sounds. It's not for just reciting things they do not understand. The purpose is understanding, not just memorizing Arabic that they do not understand. And that is because the Qur'an is about the message. MashaAllah. What is important about the Qur'an is the message. The message of the Qur'an is intrinsic to its revelation because Allah describes it as guidance. So revelation without, let's say, rhyme or rhythm or melody, is still a message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if there's rhyme and rhythm and melody, but without a message, then what is it? If it's just memorizing sounds without understanding, then it is for the gratification of the parents, but the children do not understand the message of the Qur'an. So central to the purpose of teaching children the Qur'an is teaching them the meanings of the Qur'an. That means that teaching children the Qur'an is not limited to teaching them Al-Qa'idah Nuraniya and then how to read some surahs and to repeat them and make their parents happy. And when you ask them what these things mean, they have no idea. It is teaching them the meanings in addition to memorizing whatever Allah has made easy for them. Allah Ta'ala has revealed the Qur'an as a guidance, and it is to empower us to act according to Allah's guidance in our daily life. So reciting the Qur'an with understanding is the most virtuous endeavor. And it's not the same if the child or even an adult memorizes some surahs of the Qur'an without understanding. Now let's look at some narrations about this and look at some guidelines for how children learn the Qur'an. We have the hadith of Buraida, a long hadith from Buraida radiallahu anhu, and he says, I was once sitting with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I heard him say, learn the Qur'an, learn Suratul Baqarah, for taking it is a blessing, and forsaking it is a loss, and the sorcerers cannot bear it. Buraida says, then the Prophet ﷺ was silent for a while. And then he said afterwards, learn Surah Al-Baqarah and Ali Imran, for they are the two luminous ones, Az-Zahrawan, the two bright luminous ones, who will shade their reciters on the Day of Judgment as if they are two clouds or two flights of birds. Indeed, he said, on the Day of Judgment, the Qur'an will meet its reciter when he is resurrected and rises out of his grave like a pale man. We have to stop here for a second. What exactly does the Prophet ﷺ mean when he describes the one who memorizes Al-Baqarah and Al-Imran as one who comes out of the grave on the Day of Resurrection like a pale man? The ulama comment on this hadith and they say that the one who has learned the Qur'an is likened to a discolored man or a pale man because he will appear close to how he appeared in this life. Meaning, he exerted himself in some sleepless nights and fasting during the day, and that made him a little bit discolored from his normal complexion because he was striving in reciting the Qur'an at night and fasting in the day. And so he appears on the Day of Judgment looking very similar to how he appeared in this life. Now the hadith continues. He will rise out of his grave like a pale man, and it will be said, do you recognize me? The person will say, I do not recognize you. It will say, I am your companion, the Qur'an, the one who quenched your thirst in midday and kept you awake at night. Every merchant will seek his prophet, and today you shall have a greater profit than every merchant. Then the person of the Qur'an will be given dominion in his right hand and eternity in his left hand, and a crown of dignity will be placed atop his head, and he will clothe his parents with twin garments of inestimable worth. His parents will say, for what have we been clothed in this garment? And it will be said, because your child took to the Qur'an. And this is the hadith recorded in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad. We have another hadith very similar to this one, recorded by Imam al-Tabarani, which adds, because your child learned the Qur'an, and it will be then said to the reciter, recite and rise through the levels and mansions of paradise. This is in Tabarani's collection. We have another hadith, also from Buraida, recorded by Imam al-Hakim in his Mustadrak, in which he relates that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the parents of the one who recites the Qur'an, learns it, and acts upon it, shall be clothed in twin garments of inestimable value compared to the clothing in the lower world. And they will say, for what have we been clothed in this raiment, this garment? And it will be said, because your child took to the Qur'an. We have another hadith, very similar. We have the hadith of Anas, recorded by At-Tabarani. Anas ibn Malik relates, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the one who recites, or rather the one who teaches his child the Qur'an from the Mus'haf, the written text, will have his past and future sins forgiven. And the one who teaches his child the Qur'an from his memory will be resurrected on the Day of Judgment in the form of a full moon on a dark night. And it will be said to his child, recite. And each time the child recites a verse, Allah will raise his father a degree in paradise until he stops at the last part of the Qur'an with him. So here's four or five narrations, all of which point to the importance of teaching children the Qur'an and the rewards in store for the parents who teach their children the Qur'an. However, there are some very important points to make. And most of you are familiar with the hadith. It's very famous among parents. Whoever's child memorizes the Qur'an, the parents will be crowned with a taj on their heads on the Day of Judgment. Well, that hadith, I didn't include it, but that's another hadith. But there's some important points to make about these hadith. We cite these hadith because, as we said a few days ago, they are concerning fada'irul a'mal, virtuous actions. However, all of the hadith that speak about the virtue or the rewards given to parents being crowned on the Day of Judgment, all of them, every single one of them, is da'if. Every single one of them is categorized as weak. All of these narrations about the crowning go through a narrator named Zabban ibn Fa'id. And the hadith experts all declare him unreliable. Ibn Ma'in, Ibn Shaheen, Saji, Imam Ahmad himself, Ibn Hibban, Ibn Jawzi, Al-Qattan, and several others. So these early hadith masters who would speak about the status of the narrators, all of them declared that narrator da'if, unacceptable. So those hadith, we do cite them for virtuous actions, but we do not say that these are emphatically the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. That's point number one, just from the hadith standpoint. Point number two is these hadith do not mention hafidhah. They don't mention memorize. They all mention qara'a, which is to recite. So they don't specify memorizing. Number three, although there were a few scholars who were a bit more lenient when it came to accepting these narrations, even those scholars who accepted these hadith and were more lenient in accepting them, all of them considered it a virtue for reciting and memorizing. Yes, but the same scholars that did accept these narrations all said it is only applied to the one who memorizes and understands. Not just memorizing, not just putting your kid in the madrasa for 2 years and having them memorize, and then they graduate, they get the turban wrapped on their head and they graduate, and you ask them, what does this ayah mean? And they have no idea. Those scholars who accepted these narrations said, no, these hadith only apply to the one who's memorized and understood their meaning. And to support this, I mentioned to you some scholars. Imam At-Turtushi, rahmatullahi alayhi, who died in the year 520 after Hijrah, and Imam Ibn Arafah, one of the great Maliki Imams who died in the year 803, they both mentioned that a hafiz of the Qur'an, a memorizer of the Qur'an, who does not understand the Qur'an, is closer to being like those past Jewish nations of Banu Israel, about whom the Qur'an says, وَمِنْهُمْ أُمِّيُّونَ. Who knows the verse? إِلَّا أَمَانِيَّ. Right? Among them are illiterates, who do not know, لا يعلمون الكتاب, they do not know the scripture, إلا أماني, except wishful thinking. They had the scripture, and they recited the scripture, but they did not understand the scripture and the meaning of the scripture. All they had was أماني, wishful thinking. This is what was said by both Imam At-Turtushi and Imam Ibn Arafah. So what is the purpose of memorizing? Why memorize anything? Memorizing the Qur'an, whether you're an adult or whether you're a child, the purpose is building familiarity with the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, when the child is young, the priority is given to memorizing without understanding. It's not expected that they're going to understand everything. So priority will be given to hifz. But it's just a matter of time and scheduling. The idea that a child will memorize the Qur'an and not ever really understand it, this is closer to the ways of Banu Israel than to the way of the Ummah of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The objective is always understanding. And this is not to discourage memorization, but, and I say this to parents, it should not be a selfish endeavor for the parents where they're just looking after getting that crown in Jannah, at the expense of their child, and not pursuing a deeper understanding of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if the child is memorizing, at your encouragement or your instruction or you facilitating it through others, it should be done meaningfully where they're memorizing and they're understanding what they're memorizing. And most importantly, they are learning how to implement the teachings of the Quran. So if a child is going to memorize the Quran, when should they start? Yeah, Imam Malik, rahmatullahi alayhi, and you know, obviously I cite him a lot, I'm biased, but Imam Malik disliked that a child be forced to memorize the Quran before 7 years old. And this is because the child is in a world of play and imagination. They're not really at the stage of being forced to sit down, much less being beaten for moving around. And that is especially the case with boys. Boys are naturally energetic. They naturally want to move around. They want to explore. They want to wrestle. They want to play. So the idea of taking a child at a very young age and just forcing them to sit and beating them if they don't memorize a certain portion, this can actually be detrimental in the long run. It should be when they're a bit more mature and they have the capacity to sit down and memorize. And as we said, memorizing is the first stage, obviously. But it should be an ongoing journey where they're also learning what it means. Not just I'm going to put my kid in the hifz school so I get the crown in Jannah. Whatever they go through, it becomes about you more than it is about them. You see, you want that reward for yourself, and it becomes about boasting, oh, my child's a hafiz, you know, how much does your kid know? You know, you have to be mindful of where children are, and you have to have the right intention. It's not just about you, it's about them, and they have to have some understanding, and they have to see the Quran implemented in basic akhlaq, right? So this is just some of what we can say regarding the virtues of teaching children the Quran. But we have to correct a lot of the negative ways in which the Quran is imparted to young people, especially in this day and age, where it becomes for them a traumatic experience. What happens often with kids is if they don't see the Quran lived at home, they don't understand the Quran, but they're forced to memorize it, they're pulled in so many directions in the world. Oftentimes, the kid will memorize the Quran, but as they get older and go through life, they start to forget massive portions of the Quran because they're getting pulled by dunya, pulled by negative peers. And if they had traumatic experiences in the madrasa, like when they think of the Quran later on, what are the first memories to come to their mind? Are they going to be positive memories or are they going to be memories of beatings, right? In some environments, the kid can grow out of that and get past it. In other environments, it sticks with them and it affects them negatively. So these are virtuous things, but we have to go about it in a sensible, wise way where the primacy is given to understanding as a long-term goal more than just building our resume for the hereafter of getting a crown where it becomes a selfish endeavor for parents. هذا وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.